Hello and welcome to episode 28. My name is Dustin and this is Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the mysterious and difficult to explain aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, cryptids, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all the major podcasting apps, and we've also got a video version of the podcast available on YouTube. So today we're going to talk about angels. Probably have some idea of what you think that angels look like. Usually they're like super clean and healthy looking people in flowing white robes with big elegant wings coming out of their back. And usually they've got a halo around their head, probably up there sitting on a cloud somewhere, strumming a harp. But that's not actually what angels are described as in the Bible. They're actually rather horrific looking monstrosities when you know what they actually look like. So we first learn about angels in the Old Testament of the Bible. The word angel roughly translates from Greek as messenger. In the Bible, angels appear to people in dreams most often, although sometimes during the day as well. They pass on messages to people on behalf of God, and sometimes they also do his work here on earth. So in the book of Exodus, there's an angel that kills all of the firstborn sons in Egypt. You've probably heard that story, how Noah got out of Egypt. Then in 2 Samuel, there's another angel that kills 70,000 Israelites. And then in 2 Kings, there's an angel that kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in a single night. So needless to say, angels are pretty dangerous and they're also pretty powerful. They're not nice or gentle or peaceful creatures. They'll definitely mess you up. There's a reason that every time people encounter angels in the Bible, they always fall to the ground pooping themselves in fear, and why angels always say, "Be not afraid," when they show up. It's also worth noting that angels aren't human. They're about as far from human as possible. They're just like another creature created by God that has nothing to do with humans. So despite movies like Touched by an Angel and Miracle on 30-whatever Street, you can't become an angel. Your dead grandma can never become an angel. She, best case scenario, she can go to heaven with the angels, but she's not going to become an angel herself. Sorry to tell you. There's actually way more than one kind of angel. I think there's like seven-ish different types of angels. So I'm going to talk about the hierarchy of angels here. So the weirdest one, I guess I'll start with like the weirdest one and go to like the least weird ones, sort of, or maybe like the most powerful to least powerful. I'm not really sure how to phrase this, but first one on the list is called the Ophanim. They're like a pair of interlocking wheels with eyes all the way around the wheels. They're seen in the book of Ezekiel by Ezekiel. People say maybe after ingesting hallucinogens, because if you've ever seen any of the art that people make after taking like DMT or something, like the band Tool, if you look at their album, you can see crazy like eyes everywhere, and it's all like caused by hallucinogens basically. So people think it's either that, or maybe it's he saw a UFO. But what these Ophanim do, they act as transportation for the cherubim, which is another kind of angel that we'll talk about in a second. Those two are usually always seen together. And the Ophanim might be so big that they actually can disappear below the horizon when they appear in the sky. So basically, they're like so big that they would block out the sun if you could see them. Next up, we've got the Seraphim. So the Seraphim have six wings. They use two of them for flying, two for covering their face, and two for covering their feet. And they're usually depicted as being burning angels, so they're like perpetually on fire. Next is the Malak. So this is the typical human-looking angels that you would probably think about. This is like your guardian angel and stuff like that. The thing is that the Bible does say that people are made in the image of God, so I guess that means that angels are also made in the image of God. At least these Malak ones seem to be. And we've got the Cherubim up next. So you've probably heard of cherubim before, and this one you probably think you know what it looks like too, but you probably don't. So when most people hear of cherubim, they think of Cupid from Valentine's Day, like a chubby little baby with wings basically. But cherubim are actually human animal hybrids. They're beings that guarded the Garden of Eden. They've got four faces and four wings. So their faces are the face of a human, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle, and they've also got the feet of an ox. And there seems to be some relation. They might be related to like the Egyptian Sphinx as well, because there's all these kind of weird creatures in different mythologies that kind of act as guardians and have weird animal faces and stuff like that. So yeah. And if you remember from the episode about the Ark of the Covenant, cherubim are also featured on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. There's two of them facing each other. And then we've got the virtues. Basically, the virtues are angels that give out stuff on earth to people. Sometimes they're called the shining ones. They don't necessarily have a physical appearance. I guess they're just like shining glints of light in the air or something. So that's the hierarchy of angels. And then you could kind of separate the angels by choirs as well. So you've got the first choir. These are angels that only exist in heaven and do stuff relating to heaven. So, for example, the seraphim, they sit in heaven all day, and well, there's not really time in heaven, I would presume, but just like they're always in heaven, so they transport and praise God. I said that the seraphim just kind of sit at the right hand of God and say holy, holy, holy for infinity. That sounds like a kind of a boring life, but I guess that's what he designed them to do. That's his prerogative as the all-powerful being. If he wants to make beings just to worship him, good for him. And then you've got the second choir of angels. So these exist in heaven, but they can also affect stuff on earth. This is like in mythology, you think of like Zeus throwing a lightning bolt from heaven and it hits earth and does stuff. I guess that's kind of how I picture the second choir of angels working. So they're in heaven, but they're like over like a almost like a crystal ball or something, like scrying and messing with people doing stuff on earth. And then you've got the third choirs. These are the ones that actually come to earth and interact with humans. For example, the cherubim. And I guess you could classify fallen angels as their own kind of like choir, like a negative choir. So you've got like Lucifer, Satan, Baal, Beelzebub. I don't know if Lucifer and Satan count as the same angel, most likely. So people think that Satan was most likely a cherubim, and most of the fallen angels or demons might also likely be cherubim, but the Bible also says that a third of angels fell from heaven with Satan when he fell. So there might be some angels from every group that joined him as well. Then you might have heard of archangels before. Only Michael is ever actually identified as an archangel. Some people think there are seven archangels, though, which might include like Gabriel, Raphael. So this episode is kind of short, but that's all I got to say about angels. So I'm going to do like a little bit of a ghost story that I saw. I really liked, there's this person on Reddit posting a whole series of stories. So I thought I would read some of them out in my shorter episodes just to lengthen it. So you guys aren't listening to like 5 minute long episodes. So these stories are by a user on Reddit named PNWRose_3022. This one is called Halloween Prank Gone Spooky. In the future, they've got a bunch of stories as well about working at a haunted pizza shop that they're posting on Reddit as well. So I'll probably read those in the future as well. That'll get a little bit of a mention here, but you won't get into it as much. So let's get into it. Halloween Prank Gone Spooky. So two Halloweens ago, I did something kind of dumb. Let me start at the beginning. I started working at a small local pizza shop in my hometown. After a few days, I became really good work friends with the early morning housekeeper for the bar next door. They actually own the pizza shop. She was really cool and dark, very mysterious. Along with her, I made friends with some of the cooks. One cook and I started hanging out almost every weekend. Eventually, the housekeeper became comfortable with us coming over. Now, I was not expecting what I walked into. Her house was like the party store, threw up Halloween and horror in her house. She had many odd collections, stones, dead flowers, herbs, and many, many books on witches and black magic. Her prized possession was a real human skull she got off a crackhead many, many years prior. Needless to say, it took some warming up to get used to her house. Though spooky, it was still very much inviting. Cut to Halloween 2020, and it's a full moon. Halloween was my friend's only holiday she ever celebrated, so we went big. By this time, the cook we made friends with had become absolutely insufferable to be around, so we hatched the idea to scare the absolute piss out of them. The plan. My friend and her daughter and I sat down to talk about what we wanted to do. I mentioned how it was a full moon, so how about we go to the oldest cemetery near us near midnight and do some EVPs and stuff? They said, absolutely. Now, I'll just name my friend T. T was very into black magic. She wanted to take her witch's bell and open a portal. I didn't really believe her, but we went with it. Her daughter chimed in with a brilliant idea to construct a mock Dybbuk's box. And when we got there, she would smash it on the ground and start acting up to scare the cook off. We should have known better. Well, I should have. Halloween night. We were a bit late getting out the door, but at 11:30 that night, we left T's place. The cook drove and I sat shotgun. T and her daughter were in the back, her daughter with the Dybbuk box in her hand. We told him she ordered it offline. T did an amazing job making it look absolutely authentic, so as we drove, we didn't think much about the box. I had brought an EVP recorder and an EMF meter with us. I set the EMF detector in the door as we drove and had it off. All of a sudden, T's daughter giggled and shook the mock Dybbuk box, and out of nowhere, my EMF meter started to sound off and beep. It wasn't on. We all went silent, and the whole mood shifted. We got to the cemetery and all kind of nervously got out of the car. The whole area was glowing, the leaves glistening in the moonlight, and the tombstones were almost ethereal with the glow from the granite reflecting the moon. Clear skies, and all alone, we made our way to the back of the cemetery. It was so beyond silent out there. We found a good spot, and T says, "Okay, everyone sit in a circle." She then opens the container and pours her sacred salt mix around us and warns us not to leave for any reason until we're done. At this point, I'm ready to go home. The cook looks terrified. I'm absolutely dreading the feelings in the air, so we all sit. T puts the box in the middle of us and puts both the EMF and EVP reader next to it. Her daughter starts playing a spirit box app, and the sounds that come out of it silenced us. "Let me out," it says. Then the EMF went nuts. Suddenly, I got that gut-sinking feeling that I wasn't alone anymore, and we were in serious trouble. Silence falls over us, and we all kind of just stare at each other. Now, me and T and her daughter had not at all planned on this box actually being real, but somehow, she managed to catch some entity inside. Then, like we were snapped from a trance, we realized there is walking coming from the woods inches from us. We can see clearly nobody's there. I closed my eyes and grabbed T's hand and said, "Okay, I'm officially scared now. What do we do?" She said, "It's fine. Ghosts aren't real." I said, "Bitch, you and I both know that's a lie." And as I said that, the cook stands up and says, "You guys, I think we really need to get the heck out of here. I can hear people all around us." At this point, he kicks the salt circle open and starts walking to the car. T's daughter smashes the box and says, "Screw it, let's go." So we all frantically follow. When us girls got home, we knew we messed up. We did. T closed the door we opened. We actually caught something in the box. We might have let it out there on accident. All I know is since then, none of us four have been right. I never feel like I'm alone. And if I'm working alone, I always have to double check I'm really alone. I always believed in the paranormal, but now I'm a firm believer in black magic and witchcraft. Thoughts, advice, opinions? Short after all of this, we all had a falling out and no longer speak to each other. So that's my story for this week. If you like this kind of content on paranormal mysterious topics, you want to check out some of my other episodes. In the future, I'm going to be doing episodes about stuff like ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and lots more. So I'd really appreciate it if you subscribed and come back and check out some of my future episodes, because it'll really help support the podcast. But that's it for this one. We'll be in touch soon. See you later.